Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right. As you know, I always like to start with something interesting. And there was this guy on a TikTok video that went viral. And I thought, now this is genius, because all of us have those jars of nickels and pennies and quarters, right? Don't you guys have that?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
What are we going to do with all of that? So, of course, you can take it over to Coinbase, but they charge you a percentage. So what this guy figured out, genius, is that if you do the self-checkout at Walmart, is that you can just dump all those coins right in there. And it will tell you whether or not you need to put in more pennies and more nickels or quarters, but there's no percentage that you have to pay. I mean, that is really something. Because after all, you know, it's always good to put your coins back into the circulation, because there's actually a coin shortage here in the United States. I don't know if you know this. That's right. It seems like we're out of common sense. Oh, I know. That's bad. Hey, on that happy note, welcome to Tech Refresh. It's our weekly fun podcast, as I like to say, about all things digital. It's part of the Kim Komando Today podcast. So Monday through Thursday, you get just me. And then on Friday, wow, we have the whole gang here. And joining us, as always, we have our amazing content queen, Allie Seligman. And Allie, how are you going to make us more brilliant in this podcast?
I have good ones today. I'm going to tell you how to score the cheapest plane tickets if you're traveling anytime soon. And then my tips for finding the actual reliable reviews on Amazon.
Really? There are bad and fake reviews on Amazon?
Okay. Spoiler.
I know. Sorry about that. And then we have our magnificent millennial and our very own internet scout, Matthew Healthable. Tell us what you have on tap.
You know, I'm going to do a space news roundup for all the new space news that's came out, as well as a handy tool for how to give instructions on how to do something on your PC.
And then you're on joke duty at the end, right?
I am. And I brought some more dad jokes this week. I have a few of them.
Okay, we're ready for that. All right, let's get this party started already with the tech news. Important developments to keep you in the know. And I'm going to start by asking you both a question. There was a Google search phrase that jumped 630% between the years 2018 and today. What do you think that search phrase is that jumped 630%? Any idea?
Pandemic.
2018, though.
Yes.
Is it something about voting?
Not quite.
Okay.
Frank Recruitment Group, they are a tech recruiting company, and they analyzed Google search traffic between those years, and they found that the search for believable excuses for missing work rose 630%. That's right, 630%. So these are the phrases that people are searching for. The best excuses for missing work, the best way to call in sick, good excuses to miss work. Well, this reminded me, I'm not going to say the person's name because it would be really embarrassing to them because they still follow everything that we do. And I'm just going to tell a story. Don't get mad at me because I'm not going to use your name. But we had an employee many years ago that called me and said, Kim, I'm really sorry. I just can't come into work today. And I'm like, oh, you know, no big deal. You know, get better. Are you sick? He's like, no, here's what happened. I was sleeping last night and my wife picked up my phone. And then she found out that I've been having an affair with her best friend for the last 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. That's a good excuse.
So I have to figure out a new place to live today.
Okay. Like, could have just said I'm moving.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, that's TMI, but okay, take whatever time that you need. But anyway, in other Google news, I am bad news Kim this week, not Ooh. Bad news Allie. Because if you use Google Chrome on a Mac, you want to update your browser to the latest version. They say there's exploit, emergency, security updates, zero day. Okay, those are already like bad phrases to use in one sentence. So if you're using Google Chrome on a Mac, just go ahead and get the update. All right, Matt, you're up next because you love all things space. Tell us what's going on.
Going to put back on my space cadet uniform because there's a bunch of updates that I wanted to get out there. There's a lot of small ones, so I thought I'd give you the top three that happened this week. SpaceX actually relaunched its largest rocket that they have, which is called the Falcon Heavy. And it's basically just three Falcon rockets strapped together. But this is the same rocket that Elon used back in 2018 to launch his own Tesla Roadster into orbit around the sun. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was crazy.
It was. And a lot of space lovers love this rocket because of one little trick that it does. When these rockets launch, the two side rockets detach. And as they come back down to land right where they lifted off at the launch pad, there's a large sonic boom and everyone that's around it can hear it as they break through the atmosphere. So that's always really cool. But this mission was called the USSF-44. It is a secretive government mission for a, quote, surveillance satellite. Now, that's all they've released about it. But this is the first time they've launched a rocket in 3 years. So a lot of space lovers really paid attention to this. The next big thing that happened this week is the SLS, the Space Launch System, is finally back up on its launch pad in Cape Canaveral. This is the rocket that was 3 months ago was about to do that mission to the moon, and then it was delayed, and then it was delayed again, and then it was taken off the launch pad and taken back into the hangar, right?
Well, it's go to your room.
Exactly.
That's funny, Allie.
go to your room, rocket. You're not ready. So they brought it back out. It is up at the launch pad and they are tentatively planning a launch for November 14th. So hopefully, fingers crossed, if all things go right, this will be the first mission back to the moon in decades, which is really cool. Finally, this is one of the most amazing photos I've ever seen. The James Webb Telescope released more of its beautiful photos. Two of which just blew me away. One of them was two galaxies colliding with each other. This is called IC-1623, and it's 14 million light years away, but it's literally two large galaxies just swirling around each other. And scientists believe that because of the high mass of these two galaxies colliding with each other, this is where new stars are being formed within that mass.
It's a beautiful photo. It's crazy.
It is gorgeous.
It's stunning.
The second photo you might recognize, it's a picture of the Pillars of Creation, which is another, what they call a star nursery. But this photo was taken back in 2002 by the Hubble Space Telescope. Well, the James Webb has now one-upped the Hubble once again and took a picture of the same thing in such more detail. It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And when you zoom in, I think you actually see a Walmart there too.
Yeah, and a Starbucks.
Exactly. And somebody's calling to say your extended car warranty has expired. Wouldn't that be so fun? Somebody should make a meme like that.
Yeah.
Enhancement.
Oh, man. Hey, good stuff, Matt. Thank you for sharing. All right, Allie. So we're all getting ready to travel, right, for the holidays.
And it's really expensive. Mm-hmm. This number blew me away. Totally. Domestic round trip flights around Christmas this year, 40% higher than last year. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I'm very happy. I'm staying home for the holidays. There are staffing shortages, you know, these wonky airport schedules, more expensive fuel, you name it. So all the prices are getting passed on. So I thought, how can we save money if we're flying? The team over at Google Flights, they just looked at 5 years of flight data to see, okay, what's the best data book? What's the worst data book? What's, you know, how do you save some money? There is no one cheapest day to fly, they say, but flights on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday are between 12 and 20% cheaper than weekend flights. Yeah, that's a lot. The type of flight matters too. We all like to avoid a layover, right? Because it's annoying, but you can save 20% with a layover. So might be worth the time.
You know what I don't like about layovers though, is what if the connecting flight
ding, ding, ding.
Isn't
yes.
there, okay,
yes.
or you get bumped or whatever it may be. And that's why I always try to like nonstop, just get me there, right?
Yeah. I prefer that too. It just feels safer. I do have a little tip for that though in a minute. Okay. And how far out should you book? Between 21 and 60 days is ideal for domestic flights. The holidays, of course, skew things a bit. They say that for the lowest prices for Thanksgiving, you're looking at 36 to 74 days ahead of time. That ship has sailed. If you still need to buy Thanksgiving travel, just do it because it's going to get more expensive. For Christmas, about 88 days ahead is ideal. Although I thought this was funny. The lowest prices are usually 22 days before Christmas. So early December. Yeah, but the tricky part there, flights do sell out. So if you've got a big family, lots of you flying, you might not want to wait. Okay, what about the day to buy your tickets? When should you do that? We are always told it's Tuesday, right? That's always the day that sticks out. Buy your flights on Tuesday. Google says Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday will actually only save you around 2% versus booking.
Really?
Yeah, on any other day. Now, again, all this info is 5 years worth of flight data. And things are different now, right? If you go to book a flight, it just feels different than it did before. So I thought, okay, what is something a little more up to date? Expedia also put together some numbers. These were January through August of this year.
Oh, okay.
They say Sunday is actually the best day to book. And for domestic flights, you can save about 5% on domestic and 15% if you're flying international. So book on a Sunday.
When you book on a Sunday, you know, because, you know, for years, like you said, for years, it's always been Tuesday.
Yeah.
But now it's Sunday. That's interesting.
Sunday. Yeah, check it out. And they say it's cheapest to fly on a Wednesday. And don't book too far ahead, because anything more than 3 months out and you're going to pay more money than if you just wait a little bit. So I guess it actually does pay to procrastinate sometimes. And then one more thing, they also looked at cancellations. Yeah, so many flights get delayed and canceled. Now, flights that leave after 3 p.m. have the best chance of being canceled. So try to fly earlier in the day. Same
Take
goes for those
6 a.m. flight.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Same goes for those connecting flights. So if you are taking a connecting flight, don't take the last one of the day, because there's not going to be anywhere for you to, you know, move to if that gets canceled. Mm-hmm. On commando.com, of course, we have lots more travel tips. We will tell you how to find the most leg room, all the tech you need to take with you on your long flights, all that fun stuff.
You know, I was reading in the Wall Street Journal the other day, they said that if Thanksgiving, if you leave on Sunday, then that airfare is 27% higher than if you left on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And so,
yeah, if you can take an extra day off work, you'll save a lot of money.
And then also with Google Flights, they will alert you when the price is going up or down. I always think that's really fascinating. So if you start using them a little bit more, you know, I have a joke about time travel, but I'm not going to share it because you guys just didn't like it. I know. All right. That was bad.
That's good.
All right. Coming up, how to check to see if the boss is actually spying on you. We have some Alexa tricks and how to record steps with your PC. No, not the walking kind. The steps on how to do things. You're on Tech Refresh, so stay right where you are.
If you've ever wanted to learn a new language, make 2024 the year with Babbel. Babbel's 10-minute lessons are perfect for those learning on a tight schedule. Each lesson is handcrafted by their experts and based on real-life conversations. Babbel's tips and tools make it easy for anyone to start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I recently took a trip to Japan before I signed up with Babbel, so I was able to say hello, konnichiwa, thank you, arigato, and the very important, where's the bathroom? Toridewa, doko desu ka? So fun, so easy. Right now, Babbel has an exclusive limited-time deal just for my listeners. Get up to 60% off your subscription at babbel.com/Kim. That's right. Commando listeners get up to 60% off. Just visit babbel.com/Kim. That's B-A-B-B-E-L. babbel.com/Kim. Rules and restrictions may apply. babbel.com/Kim. Don't miss this 60% off deal. babbel.com/Kim.
Hey, welcome back to Tech Refresh. It's your weekly fun podcast delivered every Friday as part of the Kim Commando Today podcast. And we talk about everything digital. It's not just me. Allie and Matt are here as well. And I just want to tell you about GetKimsHelp.com. If you're ever having trouble with your Wi-Fi, your printer, getting your phone to do something, getting your Facebook account back, whatever it may be, the tech experts at GetKimsHelp.com, they can fix most tech problems in 10 minutes or less. And if they can't fix them, let me tell you, you are just not going to pay a dime. So when you need handheld tech support that you can trust, because the worst thing you can do in your entire life is just Google search, what?
Tech support.
Yeah, that's not going to work. So that's why you want to go to GetKimsHelp.com. Once again, GetKimsHelp.com. All right, this is part of the podcast where we like to share some insider secrets. And, you know, I was talking about how the searches for missing work are up 630% on Google. Well, Bossware is up 62%. And Bossware is if you're working at home, or maybe you have a company delivered laptop, own laptop, whatever it may be. And then there is software on that is secretly tracking every single thing that you do when you're on it, when you're using it. And those little mouse movers, they don't work. Yeah, I don't know if you know about that. We talked about it here on the show, I think, is that you put a mouse in this little gadget and then it moves the mouse. And the whole idea is that your boss will say, oh, God, Matt, you're really working really late
tonight.
Never
goes idle.
Yeah.
What is going on with that guy? All right, so how do you know if your computer has bossware on it? How do you really know? Well, what you can do is you want to check what's going on in the background. Of course, if you're on a Mac, you're going to go to Utilities and Activity Monitor. And if you're on Windows, it's that Alt-Control-Delete keys, yes, and you open the Task Manager. And then look to see what processes are running in the background. Because these monitoring tools typically use a lot of CPUs and they take up a lot of RAM, and they should be easy to spot because they're going to be up there at the top of the list. Now, your IT guy or gal, they can actually tweak these settings so it doesn't actually appear on your list. Okay, so it may be running in stealth mode, so you don't know that. Now, if you ever have an employment contract or terms and conditions, HR policies, you want to check to see and just do a Google search or just do a search, Control F, for the words like monitoring software, employee software, whatever it may be like that. And because if there is one there, they may have to divulge it depending upon what state. So the bossware searches are up at 62%. So it's probably a pretty good guess. Maybe if you are working for a big company, I would see it on a big company instead of on a smaller company.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of another story. A production person once asked me for a raise because, you know, every time you talk about like productivity and PIP plans and all this stuff. So every time it's that time of year and this guy asked me for a raise. And he said, you know, I really need more money. I'd like to stay, but I have three companies after me. And I said, which companies are they? And he said, the gas, water, and electric. I thought that was funny. All right. So Matt and Allie, we were talking about this yesterday, that Matt, you want to talk about how to use the step recorder feature on your PC. And Allie and I had both the same thing, like you're going to do your steps like carrying around the CPU. Is that what it is? Yeah. I mean,
it's a good workout.
It would be. Computers can be heavy, but this is more to help you help someone else out with trying to learn something to do on your PC. It's super easy. I don't know how I didn't know about this before. It's called the Step Recorder. Basically, what it does is when you open this tab, it'll allow you to record your steps, and then you can go through and do what you're trying to show somebody. So say you're trying to show someone how to download the update for Chrome, as you mentioned earlier. You can go in, start this thing. Basically, what you'll do is you'll go down to the search bar at the bottom of your PC, type in Step Recorder. It'll come up right away. You click on it. There's a little button. It'll say Start Recording. And then you go through the steps while it's recording of how to download that update. You then click Stop Recording. And this is amazing. It'll pull out a Word document that has typed up. The computer automatically knows what you did, types up what you did with screenshots step by step on how to do what you just did.
I didn't know about that. How did I not know about that? This is
incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so say your parent calls you, your grandparent calls you, someone who's not super good in tech. You can do this, save those steps, and send it to them. And they have the entire thing right there in front of them. I don't know how nobody knew about this. If you haven't tried this and you want to help somebody out, go ahead and give it a try.
Because that can be so incredibly frustrating, isn't it? To say, okay, go to start.
Well, and the screenshots are nice too, that they can actually see it.
Well, exactly. I mean, how many times has someone called you, especially you, Kim, someone called you and said, hey, can you help walk me through this? And then you over the phone have to walk them through step by step on how to do that. And they don't understand or they get confused.
Terrible.
You don't have to do that anymore. Just record your steps and send it to them. It's really easy.
So how do you do that again? Just give everybody the steps one more time.
Go down into the bottom of your PC. It's only on PCs. And you're going to search Step Recorder and it comes up right away.
Nice. Yeah. You know what? That's a great tip right there. We should have that on the site, Al. Let's put that as some.
We sure will.
Some insider secrets.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Okay. So you're up, Al. What do you got?
Amazon. Okay. Yes. Amazon is full of crappy fake reviews. We all know this. But it's just human nature, right? We're going to look at the reviews anyway. So how can you actually try to find the ones that are helpful and not just the junk fake ones? Okay. I've got three things that I always look for. First, the pictures. I always look at reviews with pictures because I feel like this is how you see if something is defective, if people are saying, the quality is not very good, or, hey, this is awesome, I love it. So I always look at the reviews with pictures. When it comes to star ratings, all right, think about it. If you're a company and you're going to pay for fake reviews, you're probably going to pay for really good ones, right?
Yeah.
Five stars.
I'm going to pay for 2-star reviews.
Exactly.
No,
yeah. So I go to the 3-star and the 4-star because I feel like those are probably more likely to be just real people reviewing a product. So I go to those and see what they're about. It's also worth looking at 1-star reviews, if there are any of those, just to see. Pet peeve of mine when people leave 1-star reviews because it's like the packaging was messed up the delivery was late. It's like, this is not helpful. Okay. And then I always look at the most recent reviews. Now, if you go to any product with a ton of reviews, you will see really great reviews from like 2017, 2018, right? They want the really good ones to be right there at the front. But if you filter by most recent and you see all these really bad reviews, it might be an indication that the product is just not good anymore. You know, manufacturers change, materials change, all that stuff. So it might be something that used to be great and isn't anymore. So make sure you check those recent reviews too.
You know, do you ever leave reviews?
Never.
I do sometimes.
I don't leave reviews.
Yeah.
What's the last time you reviewed?
I bought you were talking about this, Allie, a coffee frother, an electric coffee frother. And I bought a really good one. And I was worried because it's chargeable, it doesn't use batteries. And I was like worried that it wasn't going to be powerful. And it was really good. So I didn't leave a huge long review. It just said, works really well. 4 stars.
4 stars.
That's
do
it.
You just do this out of the kindness of your heart for other people?
Sometimes, yeah.
Look at you.
Wow. We're proud.
Yeah, I never
we're so proud. Hey, listen, if you like these great short tips, make sure that you get our Daily Tech Update podcast. Every single day, you get 60 seconds of a news story and then 60 seconds of a digital life hack. And I write and record them both every single day just for you. So, yeah, I know. So make sure that wherever you get your podcast, just search for Commando with a K, of course, and make sure that you subscribe or follow to the Daily Tech Update. All right, coming up, we have what a TikTok influencer, the Grand Canyon, and a golf club has in common. We have a really funny joke at the end or a few from Matt. And we have this week's buying guide with Allie, how to turn your old car into a kind of almost, well, 2022 car, Al, you think? Is that it?
Kinda,
with all the
time? Yeah.
Absolutely. So don't leave us now because there's a lot more coming up you don't want to miss.
If you've ever wanted to learn a new language, make 2024 the year with Babbel. Babbel's 10-minute lessons are perfect for those learning on a tight schedule. Each lesson is handcrafted by their experts and based on real-life conversations. Babbel's tips and tools make it easy for anyone to start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I recently took a trip to Japan before I signed up with Babbel, so I was able to say hello, konnichiwa, thank you, arigato, and the very important, where's the bathroom? Toridewa, doko desu ka? So fun, so easy. Right now, Babbel has an exclusive limited-time deal just for my listeners. Get up to 60% off your subscription at babbel.com/Kim. That's right. Commando listeners get up to 60% off. Just visit babbel.com/Kim. That's B-A-B-B-E-L. babbel.com/Kim. Rules and restrictions may apply. babbel.com/Kim. Don't miss this 60% off deal. babbel.com/Kim.
Hey, welcome back to Tech Refresh. You know, it's your Friday podcast, part of Kim Commando today, where it's not just me, Allie and Matt are here as well. And Matt has a really big job with us. Not only is he our magnificent millennial and our dedicated internet scout, is that he actually puts together our newsletters, don't you, Matt?
I do every single day.
And they are amazing. So if you're not getting our free newsletters for more tech smarts and knowledge, because after all, knowledge is power, whatever you're interested in, we have Windows, we have Android, Apple, travel, small business, you name it, make sure you head over to commando.com/newsletters and sign up for the newsletters that you want. All right. So this is part of the podcast where we talk about what the heck was this? So here's the headline. TikTok influencer loses golf club inside the Grand Canyon.
Oof.
Okay. All right. Influencer, more like idiot. Here's what happened. This young woman was standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, and she decided that she would knock a golf ball into the Grand Canyon.
Why not? What
and
could go
so
wrong?
Yeah. She's recording it for, of course, to get all the likes because everybody loves her. And so she stands there at the edge, records herself, hitting the golf ball into the Grand Canyon, and then ceremonially takes her golf club and throws it into the Grand Canyon.
Mm. All right. Oh, my God.
Okay. So the National Park Service wasn't very happy about this. Yeah. And they said, they put this online in their Twitter account. And they said somebody posted a video to their personal TikTok page showing her, blah, 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 blah. We need your help to identify the individual.
Okay. A manhunt.
Yeah.
The next day, Grand Canyon law enforcement has identified, located the individual responsible for this incident. Charges and a court appearance are pending because throwing objects over the rim of the Grand Canyon is illegal, and because it can endanger hikers and wildlife that are below. Imagine if you're just sitting there hiking the Grand Canyon. And this golf ball comes, and this golf club comes down. I mean, that's crazy.
Riding a mule, you know, and just get hit by a golf club.
the first house I bought in Phoenix was on, I guess you'd say, the north side of Camelback. And so I would be sitting there out by the pool, and a golf ball would go ding, ding, right into the pool. And like, and I'm like, I'd turn around and like, dude, you're going to kill me down here. You're going to kill me down here. So now fast forward, gosh, almost, 20 years, no longer than that, probably almost 30 years, is that I have finally figured out that where I am building my house right now is where that guy lived that was shooting those golf balls down.
How funny is that?
Irony.
Because I started looking, I'm like, oh my God, the trajectory. And I didn't really figure it out. Actually, Barry did. He's like, this is where the guy was standing. Because if you look, this is where the golf balls are coming from. Kind of crazy stuff. The Grand Canyon, have you guys been?
Once, and I've lived here my whole life.
I can beat you because I've never been, and I've lived here for, I'm an Arizona native, and I've somehow never been.
Well, you know, it's really beautiful. It is. It's really beautiful, and I don't know, maybe it's just me. So, like, Bear's all into this. You know, we're going to go stay at the lodge at the Grand Canyon. We're going to spend, like, 3 days there and whatever. And so... So we drive all the way up there. You know, it's like 6-7 hour drive, right?
Yeah.
Drive all the way up there. And I look, and this is going to sound really mean, but I looked and I said, so is this it? And Barry's like, yeah, we're going to be here for 3 days. I'm like,
doing what?
Really? Yeah.
Did you stay for 3 days?
No. One night we went back. That's not going to work. But the Grand Canyon is really, really beautiful, or should I say gorge.
Yes. Oh.
Okay, so Matt, the origin of text symbols going crazy on the internet. What's happening?
This article blew up, and I think it's fascinating. We all see these symbols every day, right? You see the power symbol, you see the Bluetooth symbol, you see the play symbol or the at symbol, and you just assume what they are. You know what they are. You don't have to think about it. You know what that means, right? Well, a lot of these symbols have very interesting history, so I thought I'd go through some of them and honestly blow your mind. Stick around for the last one, because that one is amazing. So I thought I'd start with the power symbol. So you all know the power symbol. It's that broken circle with the line in the top, right? Now, this symbol actually dates back to World War II, where engineers would use that symbol to mean binary, or one and zero, or on and off, on their power things, on planes, on ships, on a lot of engineered stuff during World War II.
This is like a Jeopardy question, right?
Yeah.
What is the power symbol? Yes.
Exactly. The Bluetooth symbol, this one's even more fascinating. You might have heard the story of the 10th century Danish king named Harald Bluetooth. Now, the reason he was called Bluetooth was because he had an addiction to eating blueberries, and so his teeth were constantly stained blue. Now, he was able to unite the Swedish and the Danish people the same way that Bluetooth can unite different devices.
Yes.
So when the creators of Bluetooth came up with the technology, they named it Bluetooth after Harald Bluetooth. Now, that symbol that you see that looks almost like a zigzag with two bumps on the right-hand side is actually a runic symbol that stands for Harald Bluetooth. It's H and B in runic, which is fascinating.
And that symbol is really important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that the symbol's there for a reason, is that tells you the right way to insert the USB cable in, right?
Yeah. The next one is the play symbol. This one's actually relatively new, but it doesn't have its origins in computing. It actually goes back to the 1960s when reel-to-reel tape decks used that little arrow inside of the circle to mean forward on the reel-to-reel. And so there was another symbol for backwards that was the backwards arrow in the circle, and that was reel-to-reel. And so it got its start outside of the internet or outside of computing.
Yeah.
Now, the best one, this is the one you've been waiting for, the at symbol. This is incredible. This symbol has been known by many names. In France, it's known as the snail. In China, it's known as little mouse. In Germany, it's called the monkey tail. So it has different names all over the world. Thought that was fascinating. In 1971, a computer programmer in Europe used this to separate names and networks for what would become email. Now, it wasn't called email at the time, but it was to differentiate when the name of the person and when the network that it was on started. So at blank, right? But the actual goes back farther than this, when in 1885, it was used on keyboards to mean for accounting at the rate of. So it was an accounting symbol for at the rate of back in 1885.
Wow, you're just like all full of fun facts right here. This is crazy.
But it goes deeper. Okay, all right. This symbol actually has its origins back in the 6th century when monks would use it to mean the word at or toward, because they were using the word ad, which of course stands for AD or Anno Domini, which is the years after Christ. So they actually used this symbol back in old monk texts from the 6th century to mean ad. Man.
Do you think the monks said, don't at me?
Yeah, exactly.
Those are wrong with this.
Yeah.
No, that was really interesting, Matt. That was good.
I love that kind of stuff.
I feel like we just learned like a whole bunch of stuff in like 30 seconds.
Hey, Thanksgiving's coming up. You can use these facts to impress all your family.
And I think we should be sharing them on our social media accounts, because I think people would like that. So wherever you are, whether you're on facebook.com/KimCommando, instagram.com/KimCommando, LinkedIn, make sure that you follow us, because this way you get all these little tips, tricks, and secrets. And I will give you an insider tip, is that my Instagram account is now private. That's right. It is private. So if you'd like to join in, well, what you need to do is to make a request. So go to instagram.com/KimCommando and then make a request to follow. And then if you're a nice person, I'll go ahead and let you in. That's instagram.com/KimCommando. All right, coming up, some old cars and how you can get new digital tricks. And then we have a great joke at the end you don't want to miss.
If you've ever wanted to learn a new language, make 2024 the year with Babbel. Babbel's 10-minute lessons are perfect for those learning on a tight schedule. Each lesson is handcrafted by their experts and based on real-life conversations. Babbel's tips and tools make it easy for anyone to start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I recently took a trip to Japan before I signed up with Babbel, so I was able to say hello, konnichiwa, thank you, arigato, and the very important, where's the bathroom? Toride wa doko desu ka? So fun, so easy. Right now, Babbel has an exclusive limited-time deal just for my listeners. Get up to 60% off your subscription at babbel.com/Kim. That's right. Commando listeners get up to 60% off. Just visit babbel.com/Kim. That's B-A-B-B-E-L. babbel.com/Kim. Rules and restrictions may apply. babbel.com/Kim. Don't miss this 60% off deal. babbel.com/Kim.
Hey, it's Tech Refresh. It's your weekly fun podcast delivered every Friday as part of the Kim Commando Today podcast. And just a quick reminder is that if you ever have a question for me that you'd like me to answer, you know, on the show, or maybe you want to be on the show, or maybe you want me to pass it along as great content that we can, Allie and I can talk about, and Matt can put together in newsletters and good things like that, just go ahead and send me your question. The easiest place to do that, I know you like to leave them all over social media, but okay, the best place for me to read every single email and question that you want to get in front of me is to go to the website, commando.com with a K, of course. And in the upper right-hand corner, there's a link that says Email Kim. So you fill that all out. I'm the only one that reads them, by the way. And so if you ever have a question, you need help with something, you want us to cover a particular topic, that's the place to do it. All right, so might as well just say it. The holidays are here. I mean, after Halloween, it just turns into this mad rush to Christmas.
Yeah.
And so, as you know, I have older cars. I have classic cars. You know, my favorite is whenever you say SLS, Matt, I think of the SLS, the car that I have. It's the one with the going, and I've had that forever. But if you have an older car, there are some ways that you can bring it into the modern age, right, Al, a little bit?
There are. You know, I know some people are going to roll their eyes at me, but every time I have to drive a car that doesn't have a backup cam, I realize how much I rely on it.
Yeah, and then now it's the 360 cam.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have one of those, but those
are neither do I.
Yeah. Okay, that is a beautiful thing. I'll just tell you right now, when your next car, just make sure it has the 360 cam. Because
if
you really want to figure out if you're in the parking spot, the right place.
That's how to do it.
Yeah.
That's how to do it.
Nice. Well, I didn't realize there's so much you can buy to modernize your car. So if you have an older car, it's okay. You can get a lot of this cool stuff, including a backup cam. We found one that's really awesome. It's about $150. I've seen it on sale for as low as $100. Basically, all you have to do is put up the sensors, plug it into the cigarette lighter, and you're good to go.
Nice.
You have a 1080p backup cam. It's awesome. You can install parking sensors, too. These are cheap. They're like $35. So these are basically, if your car has them built in, you know, it's if you're, you know, drifting into another lane, you're too close to something, you get these little alerts. You can do the same thing aftermarket that cheap. I was reading through the reviews, of course, and I saw one from somebody who said, my dealership tried to get me to install things like this aftermarket for $800. These for $35 and they work just
nice.
That's
always such a great feeling, isn't it? When you can do the same job and you do it for just like a fraction of the cost.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
Totally. One more thing I had no idea you could add on yourself. Tire pressure monitors. That is something I love in my car. If one of the tires is low, you get that little alert. So you know which one to fill up or you know, oh yeah, my tire's low. They sell these aftermarket, and they're pretty cheap, about $50. So you get an alert if your tire's low. Again, you have to plug this one into the lighter as well. And so that got me thinking, man, bummer. If you want a few of these things,
what do you do then?
Yeah. Turns out they sell splitters for the lighter. So you can actually plug in multiple things. Yeah. They're really cheap. They're under $20. So you can pick out one or two if you want them. I'd go with the backup cam and the tire sensors because I think those are so handy. But we've got a whole guide over on commander.com that has this and lots more gadgets you can use to modernize any old car. If you search, actually this works, go to commander.com and just search old car and it'll come up.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, I sent you a picture. Did you see the picture I sent you for the current to use at the end?
I did.
Of the newsletter?
Yeah.
Okay. Of the baby in the back. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So I just explained to everybody. So in the 1960, I think it was the Corvair. Is that what you would do is you would take your baby and you'd put it in the back window like where the trunk is. And there was like this little cradle that you'd put there. So the baby would be sitting there and they said the baby would be all warm from the sun, love the rumbling sound of the engine.
I'm like, and they'd fly just right into the back seat if you hit the brakes too hard.
That would be just
in the window.
Okay. And now you're looking at like, okay, we need like a car seat that turns around this round. Up to the age of 8, you know, strap them in.
I'm still in a car seat.
No, we got you. You're going to leave that car seat soon.
I'm in a booster.
She's in a
little booster seat. All right. Okay, so Matt, scale of 1 to 10, what do you think?
You know, last time I did some dad jokes, we got some nice comments, and I think they were really good. I'm going to give this, I'm not going to go too high. I'm thinking a 7 for the total of all of them. They're all pretty clever and dad jokey. So...
adding to our arsenal.
There we go.
All of us. Yeah.
All right. And with the holidays coming up and Thanksgiving just around the corner, I thought I'd give you a bunch of Thanksgiving jokes that you can use at the Thanksgiving table this year.
Okay.
All right. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Butter.
Butter who?
Butter, open up quick. I have some great Thanksgiving jokes to tell you. Okay. What does
you
a turkey?
Ooga. That was bad.
Hey, got to keep them daddy. All right. What does a turkey eat for dessert? Peach gobbler. Can a turkey jump higher than the Empire State Building? Of course, buildings can't jump. All right.
Oh, no.
Why did the pilgrims' pants always fall down? Because they were wearing the buckle on their hat. All right. What do you get if you divide the circumference of a pumpkin by its diameter?
What?
Pumpkin pie.
I was going to say, I was almost got that one.
And finally, my family told me to stop telling Thanksgiving jokes, but I told them I just couldn't quit cold turkey.
All right.
You know,
I think they were okay.
Hey, I'll take it. I'll take an okay.
I know what's going to happen. I know that people are going to hear these and they're going to repeat these jokes.
Absolutely.
And their families are going to make the same sounds that Kim and I just did.
But you know what's really sadder about all this is that they're going to say they heard it on the Tech Refresh podcast.
Hey, if they're telling people about the podcast, we'll take it.
Hey, that's I heard these great, you know, they're not quite the best dad jokes, but, you know, I'm an uncle, so I'm going to call them great Thanksgiving uncle jokes. There you go.
It is. That's true. That's beautiful. True. That's good. All right. So this is at the end of Tech Refresh. We like to say, here's your little to-do. And how about, Allie, you go first.
If you are taking a flight, Kim, I think you had a really great tip. Google Flights does tell you when prices go up or down. So if you're planning a trip and you're like, man, I know that I'm going to have to spend so much money on this, go ahead and set an alert on Google Flights, flights.google.com, and you can, you know, say where you're going. You'll get alerts when the prices drop. And that is a really good way to keep an eye on it.
How about you, Matt?
If you haven't heard of Step Recorder on your PC, try it out. It is one of the coolest features that I had no idea about it. Go in your search bar, type in Step Recorder. Trust me, you'll like it.
You know, I'm going to dust off my HP that's sitting on my desk. And I'm going to turn it on just to do that, to do the Step Recorder, because that sounds really neat.
Oh, yeah.
I guess my to-do is I want you to challenge yourself. And I want you to tell at least three family members and friends about our podcast. I mean, just three people. I mean, even if you just get on social and you say, I love the Commando podcast, and then, you know, with a link over to the podcast on Apple and Google. I mean, you know, all that really, really helps us out. I mean, so that this way you can show your support of our programming by actually telling more people about us. So just three people. That's it. Just three people. Okay. Maybe five. Maybe just, okay, five. Maybe 10. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's the season of sharing.
Just put it on during Thanksgiving. Yeah. There you go. It'll be like, what podcast is this?
That's a good idea.
It is. Yeah, that's really a good idea. And as always, we always love to hear your comments and your feedback. You can send us an email to podcasts@commando.com. Once again, that's podcasts@commando.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for following us and subscribing. We'll see you again next week.